when we last checked in with you early in the third quarter. Jake Kretschmer, you guessed it again, from 15 yards away at KD two-point conversion run, made it 22-0 Lakers. Later in the quarter, again, Jake Kretschmer, his fourth time of the day, 31-yard touchdown run. No good was the two-point conversion. 28-0 at the end of the third quarter. Taylor KD scored on a short touchdown run. Minetti with the two-point conversion put Lakers in a running clock situation, 36-0. On the ensuing drive, Brennan Prime caught a 34-yard touchdown pass from Micah Kramer. The two-point conversion fails, 36-6 Lakers leads. And as time expires, Minetti rumbles in for a touchdown run. Two-point conversion was not even run as time had run out. 42-6 would be your final, and Lakers wins big and makes a statement as they secure their sixth and very important playoff win. Playoff bound.
Yeah. Taking a look at the offensive numbers for both teams, USA ended up with 116 yards offense, 58 rushing, 58 passing, 23 plays rushing the ball, 10 plays passing the ball, 6 of 10 completions for Micah Kramer. Leading the way for USA's rushing attack was Hunter Bohn with 7 carries for 25 yards. His long of the night was 8. He had 2 of those, averaging 3.5 per carry. Allen Rabin, 7 carries for 18 yards. His long was 5 yards. He is averaging 2.5 per carry. And Josh Lang, 3 carries for 8 yards. His long was a 7-yard run. And then Micah Kramer, 6 carries for 7 yards altogether, including 3 tackles in the backfield. Micah Kramer through the air, 6 for 10 for 58 yards. His long was a 34-yard reception to Brennan Prime, who brought in 2 passes. Brennan Prime, the only touchdown of the night for the Patriots. Also, Josh Lang, 2 for 3 in receiving for 16 yards. And Hunter Bohn, 2 for 2 for 10 yards altogether. Then you take a look at the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers. USA with 116 offensive yards. Lakers with 413. 49 plays rushing the ball for 354 yards. 5 for 12 through the air for 59 yards from Brennan Wisner. 61 plays of offense, 413 yards altogether. Leading the rushing attack, no doubt here, Jake Kretschmer, number 8 for the Lakers. 12 carries only, 126 yards, averaging 10.5 per carry, and 4 touchdowns for the young man from Lakers. Should put him on a Triscuit box or something. Corey Minetti, number 26, so 13 carries for 93 yards on the night. And I do believe he had that last touchdown, if I'm correct there. Yes, a 5-yard run there as well.
Yep.
Preston Warren, 11 carries for 83 yards on the night. He averaged 7.5 per carry. And then Taylor Cady, 8 carries for 22 yards. And Brendan Wisner only carried the ball twice for 12 yards. Troy Chappell in the books also with 3 carries for 18 yards. Brendan Wisner, 5 for 12 for 59. Jake Kretschmer brought in 2 for 25 yards. Taylor Cady, 2 for 25 yards. Preston Warren, 1 for 9 yards. And then Siegfried and Basic with incomplete passes as well. Penalties are the only concern, Dave, for me. I know it got a little sloppy there on both sides of the ball, but Lakers on offense, 6 penalties for 45 yards. And on the defensive side, let's see here, 2 penalties for 15 yards. So you take a look at it, they had 60 yards of penalties on 8 flags on the night. That's really the only thing you can look at here from the Lakers of not domination.
Yeah, we're nitpicking here because we got nothing else to
to
look at Lakers. I mean, they played an absolutely outstanding game. They beat a very tough USA Patriot team in their own town. And outside of the penalties, they were nearly flawless. You're exactly right, Clark. But nonetheless, they got to always have something to work for. And Coach Verberg, we'll be on that because some of them were some unnecessary penalties, a couple false starts, a couple holdings. I mean, it's your normal wear and tear. But if they can clean that up a little bit, this team is destined for a good playoff run, especially if they are fortunate enough to be the big fish in the eight player or in the Division 8 playoffs, so that would be good for them. But nonetheless, even in 7, they'll be a tough out.
All right, here's the interesting thing, Dave. Last year, USA went to Lakers and beat Lakers for the second year in a row. It was final score was USA 28, Lakers 21. I want to see if any of these numbers ring a bell here. Last year, in 2016, USA ran for 389 yards. Lakers ran for 115 yards. If you take a look at this year, completely flip-flopped. Lakers ran for 354, and USA ran for 58. So very close there. But then here's what's absolutely crazy. When you take a look at time of possession, Dave, USA held the ball for 19 minutes and 36 seconds tonight. Lakers, 28 minutes and 24 seconds. Last year, USA, 28 minutes, 34 seconds. 10-second difference here than last year. All the numbers completely flip-flopped from 364 days ago. USA still have a lot of good things going for them. Obviously, losing Cooper Caulfield with 5:05 left in that first quarter really changed the look of this team. I mean, starting guard, starting linebacker on both sides of the ball, and you could see where he was needed.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think in this case it would have mattered. Lakers was outstanding today. One guy isn't going to make a difference, but it certainly was demoralizing for USA to lose him early in that game because he is a guy who's in on a lot of tackles, especially on defense, and obviously very important to the offensive line as well. So we hope the best for him. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I know it's an elbow injury, and hopefully it's not as bad as it appeared, but like I said, we wish the best for him.
If you take a look at about Greater Thumb Conference production, Lakers entered tonight averaging 37.6 points. They scored 42. On defense, they were allowing 11.6. They gave up 6 tonight for USA. Unfortunately, not too hot here. They were averaging 20.6 on offense. They only scored 6 points. And on defense, they allowed 42 when they were averaging before tonight 15.6. So Lakers will stay on top of the standings as far as offense, defense, and differentials in the Greater Thumb Conference standings. But when all is said and done, that doesn't matter. It's what matters is your final record and who stays alive for the remainder of this season going to Ford Field.
Absolutely right. And while we're looking at who stays alive, let's look at some of our other games area. Last we had heard in Cass City, they were handling Vassar no problem, 28-8 at halftime. I haven't heard much since then, but I expect more of the same. Interesting game in Reese. Bad Axe was leading Reese 30-28.
Oh boy.
With less than 5 minutes to go in that game. So a good finish there, expected to be in Reese. Ubley was beating Memphis 51-6 in the fourth quarter. A good one in Harbor Beach, though. Harbor Beach led Brown City 7-0 at the end of the first quarter, and at halftime scored before the half was over, 21-8 led in that game. In the third quarter, Harbor Beach led Brown City 27-16, and then got two scores in the fourth quarter, and that would be your final, 39-22, as Harbor Beach gets the all-important win number 6 as well, setting up for a showdown in Ubley, which I highly expect that we will be at next week to help settle the East standings next week.
Harbor Beach back in the playoffs for the first time in 3 years, following back-to-back years of not making the playoffs after that historic run for a state championship semifinals. Now they're back in at 6-1, 2 weeks remain. And like Dave hinted, we will be broadcasting from Ubley, Michigan next week as both teams enter the ball game on the season 4-0 in divisional play, trying to go for that conference for the divisional championship, and 6-1 the season for both squads. So that one is going to be certainly all it's talked up for, as we'll be broadcasting at 6:10 p.m. next Friday from Ubley.
Yeah, we will be looking forward to that one. A couple good games over in eight-player football at the half. North Huron and Peck were tied at 0 apiece, and Deckerville finds a way to score 3 times in the second half, shutting out Peck 22-0 for their 6th win of the season. So good to see that program with their 6th win. Caseville was leading Akron Fairgrove, battle of the 0-6s. Caseville was leading 42-34 late in the fourth quarter. That game was 20-20 at the half. Bay City blowing out Owen Gage. That's a final, 48-6. CPS was beating New Haven Merritt at the half, 22-3. And then
that's a ding right there.
Absolutely. If you had the bell, I could see that happening. Interesting game over in Deckerville. Deckerville was leading Flint International at the half 30-28, 44-28 after the third quarter, and 50-28 late in that fourth quarter. So a good first half. Deckerville turns on the afterburners in the second half to beat Flint International. And probably the most surprising game of the week score, Kingston led Morris the entire game. 6-0 end of the first quarter, 22-12 at the half, 30-18 at the end of the third quarter, and 30-24 would be your final. Keep in mind, Morris 6-0 going into this game, had just defeated Deckerville the week prior, lays an egg in week 7, and Kingston gets the all-important win number 5. Morris slides to 6-1 and kind of opens the door in the Stars division for Deckerville to slide back in. And so some good games around the area. We'll have plenty to talk about on Sunday as we get together at 7 p.m. over at your place.
Most certainly. Now, if you take a look at that Stars division, Deckerville and Morris now tied at 5-1 apiece in divisional play, both teams at 6-1 on the season, as Kingston takes out Morris.
Flint International just scored, Clark, 50-36. Still 8 minutes to go in that game.
That ball game is still going on. Holy cow. And it's already 9:40 on your clock.